Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we heard briefly about the young man named Stephen. But just who was he? Why was he put to death for the faith? How did he get into such a position? These are the things that we'll be looking at in our scripture test for this morning, as well as the surrounding verses. So to give you the proper historical context, here are the things that had happened before our account begins. Jesus had ascended into heaven before the eyes of his apostles. The disciples had chosen Matthias to replace Judas as the 12th, and then they awaited the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. They received him, and then Peter gave his speech that cut to the very heart of his hearers. The apostles continued to proclaim Jesus and him crucified and risen to the point that they were taken before the council. At the council, they declared that if it were right for them to listen to men rather than to God, that was for the council to decide. But as for them, they had a higher authority. And so they continued to proclaim Jesus and him crucified and risen. They continued spreading the word and doing great and miraculous signs in the name of Jesus until they were arrested yet a second time. This is the time when Gamaliel made the council or told the council to leave these men alone, that either they would come to nothing or that they were truly doing God's work. And now we come to the beginning of our first reading text. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Stephen was chosen among others, and they were set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. In this way, Stephen and the others were consecrated and called to the task of serving the widows and doing other various tasks that the apostles did not have the time to do. Scripture encourages time and time again, especially in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, the care be given to widows. Perhaps the most blatant example of this is Jesus and his own mother. When Jesus is crucified on the cross of Calvary and is hanging by his hands from the nails, he looks to the disciple whom he loved and says to him, "Here is your mother." And he says to his mother, "Here is your son." We don't know what became of Joseph, but here Jesus was taking care of his mother. As we heard a couple weeks ago, God is about giving life in abundance, from conception to old age and everywhere in between. And that applies to widows and to mothers and to everyone. As with Jesus caring for widows, so also Stephen. And that's what we see as the text continues. Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and those from Cilicia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. So Stephen, after being called and consecrated, was doing the task to which he had been called and was doing quite well at it. He was doing these great and miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Yet despite his good work, he was called into debate, into dispute. But the interesting thing about this debate is the part of our text that is left out. This is what it said. They could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." Last week we heard how Stephen's last words were very similar to that of Jesus. And here we see that even this trial, this dispute that is more or less a trial, was very much like Jesus' own. False witnesses, words that were mixed up and confused. All of this to keep Stephen from speaking and continuing in his ministry in the Word. In Jesus' trial, there were those who were called to testify who brought up false charges against him. And here Stephen has the same thing happening to him. But while Stephen is falsely accused like Christ, Stephen replied, whereas Christ did not. The high priest asked him, "Are these things so?" And Stephen replies with a 51-verse speech about their shared history all the way from Abraham to Jesus himself. He concluded his speech with the words that we find in our text. "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Here our account sounds a bit more like Peter at Pentecost. Both Stephen and he named their hearers as the ones whose works put Jesus to death. The ones who betrayed and murdered Jesus, the righteous one. But the outcome, as you heard a few moments ago, were very different. Whereas Peter spoke the word and the Holy Spirit worked in the hearts of his hearers to where they were struck to the very heart and repented, these gathered around Stephen were enraged. They ground their teeth at him. For Peter, the Holy Spirit worked in the hearts of the hearers to produce guilt and repentance. For Stephen hears, our text continues. When they heard these things, they were enraged and ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. What is our reaction to the law? Do we get struck to the very heart by it and desire to quit sinning, to no longer do it? Or do we get angry and grind our teeth? This may partly depend on what sin it is. Some sins are easier to admit are wrong and to try to stop doing, whereas other ones is not so easy. But to God, a sin is a sin is a sin. Today, when we hear his voice, what will our response to our shepherd, Jesus, the righteous one, be? Will it be repentance or will it be anger? Jesus Christ has paid for your sins and for mine, just as he paid for Stephen's and Peter's and for all of those gathered, the apostles and disciples, and yes, even Saul, who would become Paul in this gathering. He died for your sins and for mine, and has called us by his gospel to live a new life, proclaiming his death and resurrection, just as Stephen, Peter, and eventually Paul himself would do. Stephen's ministry, like all ministry which proclaims the law and gospel, is used by God. After Stephen was stoned to death, did these people continue against the gospel of Christ, or did they repent and live the new life? Well, this is what the text says immediately following our text. "And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church. Each and every sin that you and I have committed, or every good that we have left undone, no matter how big or how small it may be in my eye, your eye, or the eyes of our nation, were suffered for and died for on the cross of Calvary. And to this, there are two responses: repentant joy or angry refusal. We know that Jesus does not take the suffering of his faithful sitting down. But what is his response to those who angrily refuse? He works with them for a time. Saul was not made Paul yet. But how long will it be called today? The scriptures say, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And if you have been called by the gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection, don't resist. The Holy Spirit will give you a heart of flesh and help you to live the new life in him. Just like the apostles and disciples, just like Stephen, and just as Saul, who would later become Paul. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.